Ooh, it's alive. Okay. We're pleased today to have two doctor of audiologists who are here to talk about hearing and balance. And Dr. Whitaker will begin the presentation, then Dr. Lukenga will kind of straighten him out and tell us what.
I need a little straightening out, too. I appreciate that. I just wanted to briefly let you know who I am before we get into anything here today. As was mentioned, my name is Dr. Ryan Whitaker. I'm a Utah native. I grew up in northern Utah, but then spent several years down in Arizona and came to St. George via Tucson, Arizona. My family decided we liked the desert so much, we didn't want to leave it totally behind. So we went from one desert to another, and we've been here in St. George for about 5 years now. And we've just loved this town. We love being here. We love the relationships that we've built here. And it's fun to be here with you today and see some friendly faces that we've met before and see some new faces that we're excited to meet here today. Just briefly about myself, my family, we've got two little boys at my house, two little guys. One is almost four and the other is almost two. And they're a fun little bunch. They've had a fun holiday season with Christmas and Santa Claus, and now they're going through the head colds that so many of us are going through. But they keep us busy. They're good little guys. My wife is originally from Iowa. She grew up out in Iowa, and we met. We happened to meet here in Utah, and then she came with me down to Arizona. And as I mentioned, we've been back here for about 5 years and loving it. That's just a little bit about me. I won't bore you with too many personal details, but I'll turn the time over to Dr. Lukenga, who's my partner, and he'll talk a little bit about our clinic, and we'll take it from there.
Hey, let's see. Can you hear me okay? Might be a little different fidelity. Dr. Whitaker tends to enunciate and project his voice in a way that is marvelous. And I seem to be somewhat mediocre. So if you need me to talk a little louder, I will. I still don't understand how he does that so well. And it's okay. It's okay to have a preference or a favorite in the out of the presenters. And so it's usually Dr. Whitaker, but I'm one of those kind of Air Force type Army brats. I kind of moved around a lot when I was younger. Some of you may have had that experience yourselves. And I was born in Oregon, and then we moved all over with different stations with my dad's training. But I ended up growing up in Richfield, Utah. And Richfield's kind of a small little town in central Utah. Small little place, but I've got five kids, one girl, four boys. We do a lot of Pinewood Derby cars. I say that because we're in the middle of making our third, and I will have 12 consecutive years where I make Pinewood Derby cars. So I'm just getting started. I hope I'm learning something each year. But a little bit about myself, my wife and I did our I did my doctorate training in Louisville, Kentucky, and that was probably one of my favorite experiences in life as far as life's lessons. And I'm very grateful for that experience to have been able to live outside of where my comfort zone was and meet and greet and fellowship with great people, and I learned a lot about myself there. But coming back to Utah to be close to family and maybe pursue where some of our long-term goals would be, we found St. George. And this was back in 04. And then in 05, we turned up the courage a little bit, and we actually made a move down here and set up a clinic. And so we've been doing this type of work with our patients for some time now. And we had the pleasure of bringing Dr. Whitaker on board, coming up on 5 years, starting our fifth year together, and so that's been really exciting for us, and that's just a little bit of background about our little clinic and where we are. You can see that the address is 1054 Riverside Drive. If you've ever seen that big post office on Riverside Drive, we're just south west of that a little bit. And so that's kind of our location there. I'm going to try this out. Some of the things we do at our clinic, which that's a short list or abbreviated list of some of the things we do day to day. But the things that we're very passionate about is helping infants and adults hear and understand speech at their best level, helping individuals with dizziness, balance disorders, or vertigo, and all of the things in between. And consequently, that's what we're going to be speaking about today. The majority of our presentation will be on the vestibular system, which is your balance organ, and how it works with your brain, how it works with your eyes, and all those kind of things. So if you're not real interested in dizziness or balance, why, enjoy your lunch, and hopefully we won't we won't offend you too much. So the name of our clinic, Hearing and Balance Doctors of Utah, is just because we don't hire anyone that sees patients that's not a doctor. We don't subscribe to a model where we hire salesmen or dispenser models to do hearing aid work or anything else. We take a strong stance for professionalism. And so the name of our clinic is Hearing and Balance Doctors of Utah. We have 10 locations. I'm trying to think here. Yeah, no, 9 locations. And we're just looking to set up one more in Vegas and possibly one more up by Brigham City. But most of our clinics go by this name until you cross the border into Nevada, and then we're called Nevada Hearing and Balance Center. But we do appreciate our partners. You guys need to understand that as it relates to dizziness, let's go to the dizziness presentation. We'll flip through some of these fairly quick, I think.
Is it a different PowerPoint?
No, you just go through the tinnitus slides, I think. We'll just jump through these fairly quickly. We'll get that settled. So one of the key things that I would start with is the word dizziness. It's a catch-all word, and you should know that dizziness is the number one reason that people 65 and older went to see their doctor. So when you say you're dizzy, it's okay, because other people your age feel dizzy too, okay? So dizziness is a common problem. It's something that's very, very common. Dizzy as a word to us means that you feel kind of lightheaded, or you feel loopy in the head, like something's not right. Now, vertigo would mean that things are moving on you, where you look out and you can see people and you can see the room, but the room would seem as if it's moving, usually in a horizontal fashion, but it can be top over end as well. So that's vertigo. Dizziness and vertigo oftentimes are lumped together. People will say, well, I think I'm having vertigo, and they're really just having some dizziness in the head. So as we look at the anatomy here, you can see that this is your ear canal and your big outer ear. We oftentimes tease Dr. Whitaker, myself, we have really nice flappers. You know, it's nice to have big ears. We actually prefer big ears in our clinic. The bigger the ear, the better. So big anatomy is nice because it's easy to work with. But as you look at the ear canal, it dead ends at this eardrum. And as the eardrum moves back and forth, it's going to create some mechanical energy that will push this little foot plate. It's kind of like a piston going up and down, but it doesn't just go in and out in a straight motion. It oscillates as it's doing it. And so it can create all kinds of fluid motion into this inner ear capsule. Now, the balance organ responds to sound, but that's not its primary focus. The auditory cochlea, the inner ear portion of the the portion of the inner ear called the cochlea, that is where sounds are picked up. But today we're going to be focusing more on that loopy system here. We'll kind of get through some of these. Oh, baby, I am. Let's go this way. That'll help out. Here we go. Sorry about that. Okay. So as you look at this, you can see that your inner ear has these little bony capsules, and inside the bone is fluid. That fluid is particular to sodium and potassium. And the relationship between the sodium and potassium needs to be aligned properly. Otherwise, the cells get off and the fluid changes, and the way that it responds to motion is going to be different. The way your ear responds to sound is going to be different. So different things that really affect your ear are diabetes, blood pressure or blood flow, cholesterol levels, and different things that you're putting in your body, like sodium, like potassium and iron and different things like that. If you look at this part, it's kind of exaggerated, but you see some jelly that is surrounded, or it surrounds these little hair cells, these little column-looking things. These hair cells pick up movement. And the way those hair cells pick up movement is they move when you move because of this little weight right here. See these little crystals? Did you guys know you had rocks in your brains? Okay. Right, Harold? So, hey, when she said you had rocks for brains, maybe she was right. Okay. I'm just joking. He doesn't. But, or maybe he does. We all do. So having those little crystals there is very important. And when they get out of place, we'll get into that. That can really create some havoc. So we kind of talked about these general terms, didn't we? Imbalance, of course, is just feeling unsteady, feeling off balance, not feeling comfortable on your feet. Oftentimes people that are off balance will walk like this with their gait. We call your gait the position of your feet. So if I walk with my feet fairly close, I have a narrow gait. If I walk like this with my legs out a little more, what's that going to do? It's going to give me a broader base, and a broader base makes me feel more comfortable if I'm feeling a little off. And so when people come in our clinic and they're walking like this and they're kind of going to one side or something, we can tell there's something really wrong with their systems, and it's kind of hard. And so, you know, balance, dizziness, and vertigo. Any quick questions about those three things? We will obviously talk about what can cause these problems, but those are the general terms. So when your doctor asks you, what are you experiencing? The first thing you should say is, you know, just send me over to Dr. Whitaker, to Dr. Lukinick. That'd be the best thing to tell him, but what you just want to do is tell them how you're feeling, you know, and tell them what's going on, and try to use key descriptors that will be meaningful. Don't just say I'm dizzy. If you are experiencing balance, say, you know, I've got a little balance issue and I'm feeling kind of dizzy in my head. He'd really appreciate that. So, or she. We talked a little bit about how common dizziness is, but one thing that we didn't talk about is how scary it can be. That last point kind of puts cold chills up your spine a little bit, doesn't it? It's a little bit nerve-wracking. The thought of someone dying or having a serious accident because of a fall kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? And the idea that half of those deaths related to people 65 and older is caused by a fall or feeling dizzy and having something go wrong, that's kind of a scary one. So we know this is important. We always say in our office that preventative medicine is a whole lot cheaper than treatment plans for the symptoms that are there. So a treatment opportunity after you've fallen and hurt your arm or shoulder can really change your life. So falls are definitely life-changing, hopefully just life-altering and not life-ending. But, you know, that's something that we always take very serious. Here's another point that I want to point out before moving on. If an individual goes in to their doctor and says, you know, doc, I'm feeling a little dizzy, or I'm feeling a little vertigo, or I'm feeling off balance, studies show that 50 to 60% of the time, it's your ear. That's why we get so many referrals from doctors, is because we're a real safe place to start. That's a place to start, And, you know, sometimes it's not the ear, as you can tell, but a lot of the times it is. And so we're in that, hopefully, the first line of defense to correct these issues. So here's a little bit that we can talk about. I'm going to turn some time over to Dr. Whitaker, and he'll take you through how some of this interacts a little bit, and then he'll switch back when he gets tired of talking. So
we're going to tag team it just a little bit. I hope that's okay with everybody. As Dr. Lukenge mentioned, one thing that we're really passionate about at our clinic is helping people to stay steady on their feet, helping people that have dizziness and balance problems. And it's important to understand that when people are dizzy or when people have problems with their balance, there's usually more than one thing going on at the same time. So what I mean by that is there are four systems in our body that help us maintain a good, stable, steady sense of balance. So not just one thing, but many things. Now, one of those things happens to be the inner ear, and that's what Dr. Lukenge and I specialize in, is the inner ear. The inner ear certainly helps us to maintain our balance. That's one of its main functions. As we looked at those anatomy slides, you saw some of those funny loops and turns and inside of our inner ear. That organ is designed to help keep us steady. But more than that, we have other systems in our body that help us maintain our equilibrium. Another, of course, is our... Oh, not that button. I'm going to figure this out. There we go. Another one is our eyes. So our vision, our ability to see the world around us, helps us maintain our equilibrium. Now, some of that's obvious, just being able to see the floor, being able to see objects. We've all stubbed our toe in the middle of the night on something on the floor. Being able to see the world around us helps us to avoid obstacles and to maintain our balance. The eye and the ear actually work together, and we might get into that a little bit more. But when we turn and move our head, the eye responds. As I turn my head this way, my eyes follow. And that's the ear working together with the eye. And in order for that to work well, it has to also incorporate the brain. As I turn my head and a signal sent to my brain that I'm turning my head to the right, the brain then sends a message back down to the eyes to follow. So that kind of works together. And then the fourth system is kind of all of these things grouped into one. We call our joint sense and our muscle sense and this sense of touch. All of that grouped together is what we call proprioception. And in a really basic sense, if you've got a problem with your knees, or if you've got a problem where, boy, maybe you can't feel very well in your feet anymore, some diabetic neuropathy or something, boy, that's going to impair your balance. And so the joints and the muscles and that sense of touch, they've all got to be working well, too, for us to be able to stay steady on your feet. So four key systems there for balance. But, of course, Dr. Lukenge and I, we specialize in the inner ear. We're not eye doctors. We're not physiatrists. We're not people that specialize in muscles and joints. We specialize in the inner ear. And the inner ear, the fancy term for that, the part that controls our balance, is called the vestibular system. And as I just mentioned, that vestibular system helps to control our eye motion. And also, interestingly, some things that most people don't know, it also helps to control the postural muscles of our neck and our back. So if that inner ear isn't working, a couple of major things happen. First of all, the eye doesn't follow. When you move and turn, the eye doesn't follow correctly, and it really throws off your equilibrium. But more than just that, the postural muscles of the neck and back can be affected. So people can come in with a literal droop to one side, or maybe they feel, if we have them close their eyes, they start falling one direction because those postural muscles aren't working quite like they should. This is just a little bit more about how the ear and the eye work together. It's something called the vestibulo-ocular reflex. I won't take too much time in explaining that. But again, a basic sense, when you move your head one way, the eyes will follow. In our clinic, we do see quite a few disorders of the inner ear. And this is a list. And boy, we could probably go through each one of these and have a whole hour's lecture on each one of these disorders. But some of the common things we see, number one is something called BPPV. Dr. Lukenge talked about the rocks that we have in our ears, the rocks that some of us have for brains. Those tiny little crystals inside of our inner ear can on occasion come loose. And when they do, boy, people know it, because every time they lay down in bed at night, every time they look up, the whole world spins violently usually for about 10 or 15 seconds. That's the number one most common disorder that we see in our clinic. But we see others. We see problems with the nerve itself, this vestibular neuritis. It says airplane here because if an infection gets into the nerve of one inner ear, it shuts down the function of that one inner ear. And our bodies are designed to have two working inner ears. And a good analogy is an airplane with two propellers, a dual prop airplane. If that airplane loses one propeller and one's still going, it sends that airplane into a tailspin. Similarly, in our bodies, if we lose the function of one of those inner ears, we start to experience severe vertigo where we get sent into a tailspin, where we just feel like we are spinning, and it usually lasts for days, and it's miserable, and many people end up in the emergency room because they're not sure what's going on, but that's a scary one. And then some others here. Acoustic neuromas, that's a tumor of the nerve of the inner ear. And then on down, Meniere's disease is one that we hear a lot, and some of you may have heard of that. It's a condition that's been overly diagnosed over the years. Back in the 1980s and even on into the 90s, if you told your primary care doctor, "I'm dizzy," he'd label that Meniere's disease without looking into it too much. It kind of became the catch-all for dizziness. So many people have been misdiagnosed with Meniere's disease, but there are some people that literally have true Meniere's disease. And then there's others here that we don't have time to talk about, but we see a lot of them. And the purpose of coming to see us is often to differentiate what's happening. There's lots of things that can make you dizzy. We need to find exactly what it is so that we can fix it. So, some common symptoms. If you're experiencing vertigo, this spinning, that's a very good sign you've got an inner ear issue. If you're unsteady on your feet, especially if you're falling down, like Dr. Lukenge said, falls can be very scary. They account for a high percentage of accidental deaths and again, many serious injuries. If you're falling down or if your balance is really poor, get your ear checked. 60% of the time, it's the ear that's the problem. And so that's a good symptom of a balance disorder. And then some of these others, swaying, difficulty walking, headaches even, dizziness and lightheadedness. And again, what we're going to do at our clinic is test that inner ear, test every little part of it, try to differentiate between some of the different disorders that could be at play. Good. You ready? Or should we finish out this section? You want to talk about hearing loss? Okay, let me finish this up here. When we do some of these balance tests, part of the testing, we have you wear some goggles like this, and we look at your eyes. Again, that connection between the inner ear and the eye is critical to us. As we take you through these tests, based on the way your eyes react, we can learn a lot about the health of the inner ear. And then once we can find the problem, of course, once we diagnose exactly what's going on, we oftentimes will utilize the team approach to helping you get better. Meaning that sometimes we need to work in conjunction with physical therapists. Other times we need to work in conjunction with your primary care doctor or a neurology team or a cardiology team. Oftentimes the treatment does include a team in order to get you better. So.
One thing that is important to note is all of the testing we do is covered by health insurance. And so that's a nice thing just to know that if you're feeling like, you know, maybe I ought to have a baseline test on my hearing, or maybe I ought to have a baseline test to see how I'm doing with my equilibrium, just as a knowledge piece for myself to know if I could be improved or if I should be improving one area of my balance, you know, we'd love to see you. So it's good to know that health insurance does a really good job covering the type of test that we perform. So I wanted to make sure that they knew that.
There's no surgical procedures that you perform at all?
Just, you know, very good question. The question there was, do we do surgeries? Audiologists, although we're doctors, we are not physicians. So our clinic, we focus on what we call behavioral science. And so the medical world, they're going to be more apt to prescribe or to do a surgical procedure. What we do is we check your behavior. What's your function level like? How functional are you? How are you doing in real environments? And so our tests are very practical and very real life. And then if we think that you need a surgery, because there are some balance problems that require surgery. Very few be it, but there are some. We would want to get you in touch with a otologist or a neuro-otologist and sometimes even an ear, nose, and throat specialist. So our ear team is made up typically of your primary care physician, our audiology team, and sometimes an ear, nose, and throat type group also. Good question. Her question was, do you need a referral to see us? Yes. If you want to just walk in and schedule an appointment, we can help you get a referral just by faxing something. The physicians in town know us well, and so they know that when we are asking to do a test, it's because the patient really needs it, and we're grateful for that trust. We hope that we never breach that trust. That's a very good point, that you do need a referral. Now, some insurances don't need a referral. We always like to get a referral anyway because we like the family doctor to be in the loop and to be in the know that this is important for, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry, or whoever. So very good point.
And I'll just reemphasize, surgeries for balance issues, very, very rare. There's maybe two things that I can think of, two different disorders that may require a surgery. So if that's the case, we'd put you in touch with the right specialist, but that would be extremely rare.
Now, some problems, it's important to note, that are not ear-related may require surgery. Some of our patients that have been dizzy have perfectly functioning ears, but as soon as they fix their deviated septum and quit getting so much sinus pressure, that relieves. So there's associated symptoms with the neck, the face, and of course ear surgeries like you were probably asking about, but there's other things, heart. There's all kinds of things that are done by this team approach, and that's why it's important to visit with individuals that spend time learning about other disciplines like cardiology, neurology. These are our partners, and so we try to learn as much as we can about other things, you know. And obviously ophthalmology and optometry, these are all associated fields that we're very close to. But, yeah, sometimes people need a surgery, and it really corrects their issue. When it's an ear-related problem, you don't need surgery typically. It's very, like Dr. Whitaker said, very rare that you would need a surgery.
So you pretty much just diagnose what the problem is, and then you go from there as to what treatment.
What we focus on in our clinic is what she just said, and for those who didn't hear it, we focus on definitive diagnosis. We want to diagnose the problem. There's a slide on one of our other presentations we may get to that says 90% of individuals who are properly diagnosed go on to get better. And for those who don't really know what's wrong, but they say, well, I'll just start going to physical therapy and hope they can solve my problem, or I'll just, you know, I don't really have a diagnosis, but my neighbor went to the physical therapy place and she seems happy. 50% of those people get better, whereas 90% get better when they have an actual definitive diagnosis that's true and accurate. So we don't really focus on treatment plans with dizziness. We focus on getting you to the right place to have the appropriate treatment done, but our main position in the community is diagnostic. So, you know.
There are some things we treat. There are. So some, we definitely do the diagnosing. There are some things that we treat in the office. Many times it does involve this team approach or getting you to the right place.
Yeah. As a side note, one thing we treat and we feel like we treat the very best in town is hearing. That's something we do treat. So we diagnose and then we treat with hearing aids and assistive listening devices. And that's something that we do a lot of our own research on and our own observations, just clinical work to know what's going to be the best for individuals. And so, you know, we don't just test. We do provide treatment plans for ringing in the ears and for different, you know, auditory dyssynchrony issues where people are not coding sound right, and so we have to get quite creative. Some of our patients have one ear that's much better than the other, and that can be interesting too. So
that was a good segue into hearing.
Well, I don't know. Do we want to run with that? I would say, any questions?
That's what I was going to say too. Any questions about dizziness or
We've
balance before we move on?
We've been talking a long time too. You know, so I don't know. Questions? I mean, Come on, a lot of you get dizzy when you just stand up, right? And now what is that? What is that when you stand up and, ooh, okay, and then you're okay? Don't we get a little head rush once in a while? I know a lot of you do, right? And that's not just an aging thing. We have people that are quite young. Dr. Whitaker was testing a 13-year-old today. Mm-hmm. She cried, but not because he's mean, but she didn't like doctors, and that was a tough exam. But you know what? Sometimes when the blood flow is not quite right, which happens more often in people that are over 65, this is true, you'll get a little bit of a head rush. And that's a very normal finding. Now, why would we want to see you? Only if, after you get up, your head rush is so severe that you almost feel like you might black out, or you feel like you're not, you just, oh, I better touch something. That's getting to be more of a problem than just a little orthostatic hypotension issue or a quick parasystolic drop where your blood pressure drops quick and then it's building and it leaves you lightheaded for a short moment. But that's common, isn't it? I'm sure a lot of us in the room have had that. Another common one is strokes. We all know people that have had some mini strokes, some TIAs, or some full-blown big strokes that have really hurt the way they process and the way they coordinate and make sure things are making sense. You know, we certainly want to give time for questions. Do you feel like it'd be helpful if we just walked around and talked to each of you individually? And if you have a question about hearing or balance or ringing in the ears or anything, we can talk to you that way too. Yeah, so.
I'm going to pass the baton.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I think we're ready to move on. Or is that right? Any other final questions about dizziness and balance?
Okay. Is there a cure for ringing in the ears?
Okay, very good question.
March, right?
Right.
Okay,
so yeah.
Okay.
Gotta wait 2 months for that answer.
That's awesome. Unfortunately, you're gonna have to wait. No, that's really funny. So the question she had is there a cure for ringing in the ears? And all those kind of fun things. Now, you might steal our thunder, you know.
Okay.
Don't ask too many questions about tinnitus, apparently.
But
it's okay because we'll talk about it. But the answer to that is yes. There are many ways to manage and to fundamentally help someone that is really affected by their tinnitus. The word tinnitus is what we use as a medical descriptor that says that someone hears a sound when there's no real sound in the environment. You're the only one hearing it, type of thing. But just so you know, managing tinnitus is something that is very much, something we really enjoy doing because it's such an unknown problem. It's such a mystery in so many ways. But just as a side note, you know, tinnitus is something that we can manage. It's something that can be helped. It can be improved. There are many cases, though, where the tinnitus won't go away. It might be desensitized. It may not be as intense. It may not be as frequent, so it's not coming as much, and the patients appreciate that. But there are patients that the tinnitus will always be there. It's just more manageable because of the education you receive. Isn't it interesting, on a gospel note, that individuals who receive more knowledge become more powerful and your desires increase? So if we're talking gospel, the more we study the scriptures, the more our desires increase to be a better boy or to be a better girl, right? That's the same way in our clinic, that if we can teach an individual what's happening with their tinnitus and educate them about what's going on between their brain and their ear, they are now empowered. They can now visualize what's going on, and they're not as affected because they can see the trees from the forest there. They're not so overwhelmed with this annoying sound that's in their head. They just put it in its proper frame, in its proper order. And that's part of what we do in our clinic, is teaching and educating people about their individual tinnitus, because tinnitus for her might be very different for tinnitus for someone else. It's extremely distinct. It's distinctly different for each individual. And so I guess if that helps, you know, without getting into a whole background about tinnitus, otherwise we won't be able to come back in March, you know. But it's very good. And if you have tinnitus that's bothering you today and it's something, certainly don't wait. You know, come in and let's take a look at you. You know, any of you that have that, I would certainly. And then that's, again, one of those evaluations that's covered by insurance. So it's
very good. Does that need a referral?
You know, I would. Yeah, I think any time we're concerned with just making sure the insurance covers the procedures we'll be doing, I like to refer.
I'll just chime in, too. Medicare requires referrals for almost everything. If it's not your primary
doctor, nowadays,
yep. In order to ensure that it's medically necessary, that Medicare doesn't want to overpay for too many unnecessary things. And so in order to get anyone that's a specialist to do any kind of testing, they like your primary doctor to give you a referral. So it's mostly a Medicare issue.
Yeah. And, you know, basically, understanding how we hear, that we'll be talking quite a bit about that with the tinnitus slides, just because that's very important to tinnitus. I would say to you guys that a question I might pose is, does a hearing loss make you more off balance? The answer is no. We have people that are deaf that have perfect balance. A question might be posed that would a hearing aid that fixes my hearing loss, and it is the inner ear, would that technically improve my balance? The answer is still no. The hearing aid does not improve your balance, and it's not going to. And I can't think of one. I'm trying to think of any medical disorder where I might be wrong on that. Can you think of a way where, now, of course, the obvious one is feeling more in tune with your environment, which is done through hearing aids, so that you can hear your feet and you can hear friction differences when you hit something, and just being in tune with sound. Technically, that could help you be a little more aware. But the idea of having a really bad balance problem, purchasing hearing aids and expecting that to be a cure for your balance, I can't think of one. So, other common questions we get and things that we see. Meniere's disease is a abnormality of fluctuation of fluid in your ear. So when the fluid level is supposed to be a certain grade and it's supposed to be a certain way, and all of a sudden it's overproduced or underproduced, it'll cause you to feel dizzy because they have a portion of their ear that's not regulating the fluid like it ought to. But that type of symptom of feeling full and stuffy on one side can be very problematic because other people feel full and stuffy, like people with sinus pressure, allergies. And so you can see how Meniere's disease got overly misdiagnosed over and over. One of the most common things we see in our patients, in the population we see and manage, is something called migraine-induced dizziness. The word migraine does not mean headache. Ooh, hey, we learned something today. So migraine is something, as friends and as the public speaks, we use the word migraine as a real nasty headache, don't we? You hear someone say, oh, I had a migraine last night. What do you think? They want to be in a dark room with no sound, and they were really pounding in there. That's what we think, right? But medically, the word migraine is not a headache. Migraine can be optic migraine. You can have painless migraine with vertigo. Migraine can cause all kinds of problems without any headache. So that's kind of interesting. Optic migraines kind of go like this. Individuals will say, out of nowhere, I'll look out and all of a sudden I'll start seeing little floaters, little spots. And most of them have something in common. They say, and I get tension. I get tension back in my neck. I feel kind of like I want to have someone work on me or something, you know. And so what's interesting about dizziness is it can stem from the cervical region, okay? The cervical region is kind of that top part of your neck. And there's a lot of neurologic type information being channeled up through the neck, coming from the rest of your body, up into your brain. But one thing that's really interesting is right in the back part, right here underneath, kind of back in there, is your vision center. Now, when your neck and your areas and those areas become really pressurized and become compromised, it can start playing with your vision and make you see funny. Depth perception can be off. Tunnel vision can come in, and then some floaters too. And so that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? That you wouldn't think that cervical dizziness or cervicogenic dizziness, dizziness generated by the neck, could affect your eyes and affect how you feel that way. So it's not always the ear. It can be other things that might be related to you. What else is common in our clinic? Pain. People your age sometimes are in pain. A shoulder, a knee, a hip, a lower back, a neck area. Okay? Different areas of pain. Why does pain affect your ability to keep your balance? Because when the neck... Go ahead. Right. You move in different ways. That's a very good point, that you alter your behavior, which isn't natural, and that can throw you off. The brain has a certain level of energy dedicated to different parts so that you can keep your balance. And when you have areas of your body that occupy too much energy and too much attention, what do you become? A little clumsy. You didn't notice the door frame and whoa, you walk right into the door frame. Or you're not noticing things like you should because you're paying so much attention to the pain. So people that have chronic pain are sometimes kind of clumsy and have a little balance issue. So I'm trying to think of other things that are interesting that you wouldn't think about that affect your... You know, Dr. Whitaker talked about feet. Lower back sometimes affects the sciatic nerve. And you can get funny feelings down your lower extremities and all the way to the feet. And sometimes even individuals with compromised blood flow, secondary to diabetes and cholesterol problems, they can have very unusual feelings in their legs and feet, and sometimes lack of feeling where they're not feeling enough. So it's like walking on pillows. That can be a real big issue there for balance.
Absolutely. So good question. Would sinusitis cause dizziness? Yeah. Inflammation of those sinus cavities certainly can make you feel a little loopy. And that's something that can often be medically treated and cured fairly quickly.
We get that a lot where people say, I go down in bed and I just feel so dizzy. And so the doctor will send them to us saying, is this their ear because the infection has spread? Or is it just fluid moving through the sinuses and creating those awkward feelings? So Dr. Whitaker pointed out, that's why you come, is we rule out and rule in. We focus on that diagnostic part, properly diagnose you so that, you know what, you need to go back to your doctor and really focus on the sinuses because your ears are great. That kind of dialogue might happen with someone like that. Great question. Very good question. And by the way, that's one of the more common ones that we're trying to rule in or rule out or differentiate between is people with chronic allergies or chronic sinusitis. Yeah, that's very common. So, well, very good. We'll come around. And any basic questions about the ears for us? We had a good tinnitus question that was appreciated, kind of. So
I know there were... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this isn't a question, but a lot of medication that people take, especially when we're older, affects our balance.
Yeah, there's... If you look at the side effects of just about any medication, it could say potential side effect dizziness. And so, yeah, just about anything you take. And there was a kind of a neat study done several years ago that showed if you take any 5 prescription medications... And it doesn't matter which 5, most people will be dizzy. So if you're on five or more prescriptions, you'll probably be a little dizzy.
So you can really get off there. Do you guys want to see what a dizzy person looks like? Okay.
He'll pull this up on the computer screen.
Will you get this so it looks good up there? I messed it up.
I can try. While I'm doing that.
You can do it. You can do it, Dr. Whitaker. Okay, let's see here.
Pretty good.
Okay.
While he's doing that, I know as we were discussing things a moment ago, that the question came up about hearing aids and looped rooms. Mm-hmm. Some of you might know that here at the church that you've got a loop system. And I don't know if anyone is, I see a lot of heads nodding, so I think this is something that many of you know already. Hearing aids have come a long way, and it wasn't our primary focus here today to talk about that. But as the loop question came up, or the loop idea came up, I'll just mention to you, hearing aids right now are doing some remarkable things. This microphone is somehow sending a wireless signal to these speakers, these wireless microphones. Hearing aids are becoming more and more wireless all the time. They talk to each other, some of the new hearing aids. They can talk to your smartphone. They can talk to your television. The loop system is kind of a fun one. This is one of the first technologies like this where your hearing aid will have a certain setting. When you click it into that setting, it'll tap in to the loop, and then whoever is talking into the microphone which connects to the loop, well, you'll hear him right there in your ears. And that's a technology you've got available right here to you. So I thought I'd just bring that up. I know it was mentioned a little earlier, and I wanted to touch on it. It looks like we've got some good dizzy eyes for you to look at here.
So when we do an evaluation, this is an exact replica of what we look at. That's a binocular vision, so we can see both eyes. Sometimes your eyes don't work together. They're not in conjugate motion like they should. And so we want to be, we'll be checking that out a little bit. But this is an individual that is placed on one side. And when you move to a side, your eyes should go with your head and stop, right? They shouldn't keep being in motion. They should stop when you stop. Individuals who are in motion and then stop, but their eyes stay in motion, they feel dizzy. In fact, they feel vertigo. So here's an individual you can watch there. Can you see him snapping? Hold on, it'll catch back up here. You see it? So they just had their head moved to that side and there they go. Now here's an individual who has, these are two people, and we just recorded one eye here. But this is an individual who lays back in bed, or another complaint she had was if she looks up to put her dishes away or something, or she gets up under the table, she all of a sudden will have a real violent, quick spurt of vertigo. And if you watch, Dr. Whitaker is gonna see this, and then he's gonna identify what the eye's doing, and then we'll watch it one more time. So here we go.
You'll be able to see this. Watch that eye. So they're laying down, then watch that eye start to jerk in that torsional motion.
So it's a pretty long one, so you could identify that. Now what's interesting about that is that very direction and position means a lot to us. So if an eyeball is moving, and that would be her right, so it's going up to the right, that would mean something to us. If it's going to the up and to the left, that would mean something else. If it's going to the right again, but this time a down right pole, that would mean something totally different in the ear. And so that's interesting. I'll let you see it one more time. Tell me which direction you think it's going. You can see it better when it just starts out real slow here. That makes us feel good that you can't tell. Our schooling meant something.
I don't know if this is fair to do right after lunch either. Everybody doing okay?
No. So naturally, Dr. Whitaker, you can pull them through this.
So this is interesting. That condition, that torsional rotating motion of the eye, that was going up and to the right. So if any of you thought that, didn't want to venture a guess, that's what that motion is. It's caused by crystals inside of the inner ear being loose, this BPPV, this condition that we talked briefly about earlier. This animation is showing these crystals loose. They're not supposed to be out here. They're actually supposed to be right in the middle up here. And if we move your head just right, we can get those crystals to fall back into place. So in terms of treating dizziness, this BPPV is often one that we can fix right there in the office. We diagnose based on the way the eyes are moving. We can tell right where the crystals are. And then we know how to move your head so that we can get those crystals back where they belong.
Here's another description there if you want to point that out. Just kind of just like last time, but with the dark... Yeah, the dark crystals being out of place.
Yeah, so kind of like the other diagram here, the black spots are kind of representative of crystals out of place, and they're supposed to be back over in here. They're kind of out hanging out in this area where they're not supposed to be.
Let's watch this one here.
This is what it looks like when we look at your eyes. Good question. So once the crystals are put back in place, do they stay in place? The answer is, yeah, they're supposed to, but people that are prone to having crystals come loose oftentimes will have it reoccur. So if you've had it happen once before, you're at a higher risk to have it recur. But yes, they're supposed to stay in place. This is a little bit of an oversimplification, too. These crystals are microscopic. The best way to picture it is like if you were to drop sand in your water. And as you shake that water up, the sand will float in the water and then eventually settle back down. So putting the crystals back, it's hard to get them all. So sometimes it takes two or three maneuvers to get them, most of them back in place because it's kind of like herding cats. You're trying to get the sand that's in water back in place where it's supposed to be.
So the way the eye moves tells you which way to rotate the head.
Right.
The corrective, yeah.
Correct. Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And by doing it the wrong way, you can move crystals to a whole nother area that's even worse. And so a problem we see often is the internet, and that is people that self-diagnose themselves, and then they go and put their head in a certain position while they're, okay, I'm doing this right, and they start moving their head around, and then they dump the crystals into two canals. They started with one problem, now they have two. And so we get the cleanup. I mean, it's part of our job, but it's like, you know what? When it relates to your body, it's okay to learn about it, but to actually physically start doing stuff on yourself when it relates to vertigo, it's probably something you want to be careful about.
Get some help. We had a question here, too.
Are the crystals held in normal places? Like a gluey substance that dries out? Like a lot of things as we get older. Things dry out.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to kind of think about it in a general level, that they sit on a gelatinous membrane in there, and they're supposed to kind of be stuck there, kind of like nuts on a Jell-O salad or something. And yeah, they can certainly, as we age, we're more prone to having those kind of dry out and slough off. Yeah.
Is there something you can eat or take that will re-lubricate?
Boy, that's a good question. Is there something dietary we can do to prevent this BPPV from happening? I'll tell you, it's always good to be healthy. So eating right, taking a multivitamin, you'll see things like antioxidants, eating blueberries. Those types of things are good for lots of different body systems.
Clear fluids.
Is there, one thing that if I told you, eat strawberries and you won't have BPPV? No, there's nothing quite like that. But yeah, being healthy is always a good idea. Drinking a lot of water, taking a multivitamin.
They have proven that with this jelly material, its ability to keep crystals there in place is oftentimes related to blood flow. And so lack of blood flow and diabetes, which would mean the nutrition and the chemicals that are vital to keeping things in that homeostasis type status, is compromised when the blood flow is not right. And so naturally, that jelly material will change its viscosity or its strength to keep things in, and then those crystals can slough off. They can just break loose because they're brittle and they're not compliant to the environment they're in. So that's what you said. I think there's a lot of truth to that, you want to be careful that way. Yeah.
Yeah, more related to blood flow probably than anything. We see a lot of referrals from cardiologists saying, I think this is an ear issue, and it often usually is.
Yeah, they're usually pretty darn good. Yeah. Very good.
But I'm sure we've taken probably too much of your time, but we sure appreciate this opportunity to come and be with you. Yeah, thank you so much. And Dr. Lukengay and I will be available to answer individual questions. We're happy to talk to each of you individually, too. But thank you.